Sarvatra.
In every way.
In every way.
This is a very nice text which we have chosen today. It is one of the last texts of the first canto, Krishna. And it is a text spoken by Parikshit Maharaj to his spiritual master Shukadev Goswami. In this text and also purport, we will hear important informations about the guru-disciple relationship. I feel that most of us here are students or disciples of the spiritual masters, and obviously this relationship is very important for all of us. It is a relationship which is constantly increasing in importance in the life of a sincere devotee. It's a relationship which is constantly meant to be increased in depth. Also es muss in der Tiefe erweitert werden, diese Beziehung. And it is a fascinating subject, and because it's a fascinating relationship. So I will speak a little bit about this morning, and hope to say something which is of relevance to all of your spiritual lives. Let us now hear what Parikshit Maharaj expresses to Shukadev Goswami. You are the spiritual master of great saints and devotees. I am therefore begging you to show the way of perfection for all persons, especially for one who is about to die. Also, er möchte ihm doch die Vollkommenheit, den Weg der Vollkommenheit zeigen, ganz besonders für diejenigen, die auf der Schwelle des Todes stehen. Purport. Unless one is perfectly anxious to inquire about the way of perfection, there is no necessity of approaching a spiritual master. Man muss begierig sein, nach dem Weg der Vollkommenheit Fragen zu stellen. A spiritual master is not a kind of decoration for a householder. Generally, a fashionable materialist engages a so-called spiritual master without any profit. The pseudo spiritual master flatters the so-called disciple, and thereby both the master and his ward, I should say before now, go to hell without a doubt. Maharaj Parikshit is the right type of disciple because he puts forward questions vital to the interest of all men, particularly for the dying men. Also hat Fragen, die von lebensnotwendiger Wichtigkeit sind. The question put forward by Maharaj Parikshit is the basic principle of the complete thesis of Srimad Bhagavatam. Also, die Frage des Bhagavatams ist, was sollen wir tun? Wir, die wir auf der Schwelle des Todes stehen. Das ist das Grundprinzip. The motto of Bhagavatam is this question. What should we do? We are about to die. What should we do now? That's the motto. Now let us see how intelligently the great master replies. And we do know the replies of Shukadev Goswami, and I want to tell them to you because you might now feel very much in suspense. Ihr möcht euch auf einem Cliffhanger befinden im Augenblick. He says that the prime duty of everyone is to glorify Krishna and to remember Krishna always. That's the theme of the Bhagavatam. It comes always in each canto. It is the most important thing. And this really makes the Bhagavatam special. I think for you who read Prabhupada's books and who are focused on Srila Prabhupada's books as their main literature, this is not so astonishing, because Prabhupada always highlights these points to remember and to glorify Krishna. That's but in the, if you consider the whole Vedic teachings, the whole vast body of literature, which are the Vedas, then this point is really special. You don't find this in every scripture. It's special for the Bhagavatam. There's this motto, what should we do? We are about to die. We only want to do the most important now. And the answer is, remember and glorify and serve also Krishna. That's in one sentence the Bhagavatam. Of course, there are many more interesting perspectives, but these are all perspectives to the same theme. Now, if you want to become a good student of the Bhagavad line or the Bhagavad philosophy, you need to be in the same urgent situation, dringliche Situation, as we find Parikshit Maharaj in. If you want to be a disciple in Krishna consciousness, you need to always have this question ready in your heart. What should I do now that I know I am a mortal? Ich bin ein Sterblicher. My days are counted, as we say in German. The question is, what should I do now with my time? And the answer is given, obviously. I gave that answer earlier, but it doesn't mean that we have heard the answer. Now we stop questioning, alles klar. No need to continue with questions. No, the question really remains, how should we serve Krishna? How should we remember him? How should we glorify him always? How to do this? I remember having read a book a little while ago. It's called Die aufrichtigen Erzählungen eines russischen Pilgers. It's an autobiography of a Russian pilgrim. And this Russian pilgrim has heard that he should always glorify the Lord. It was preached by one Russian priest. And he gets very enthusiastic about this. But now he asks, how should I do this? And the rest of the book is, he goes to these Russian monks called the Stazen and asks them for advices, because it's not so easy to always glorify the Lord. How to breathe, for instance, if you always say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. This is a question. How to do it with your eating and sleeping? How to glorify the Lord when you are eating and sleeping? And producing children, whatever you have to do in this world. You understand? He wants to know how to do this. In a similar way, a devotee in Krishna consciousness, it needs to know, how do we do this to always glorify Krishna, to remember Krishna, and to serve Krishna? And for this question, how to do this, we need the help of a spiritual master who's doing this himself. Ich sehe dich immer wieder in den Königreich des Schlafes rutschen. Wie ist es? Ich glaube, du musst dich zwischen einem dieser Königreiche entscheiden. Ja, das ist ein deutliches Statement, was du jetzt gemacht hast. Wenn man gegen Schlaf ist, das Aufstehen sehr oft das einzige Mittel. So, how to do this? Now, before a devotee, a young devotee, this is my own experience in my life and in the lives of all of you, you have taught me the same. Before you really begin to question, how can I become Krishna conscious? You need one very important realization. If we do not have this realization with us, we will not really become searchers for the truth. Also eine Verwirklichung braucht man, um ein dringliches, so ein Leben zu führen, wie wir es hier hören von Parikshit Maharaj. This realization sometimes is stronger in our spiritual lives, sometimes it's weaker. This realization is that you need to realize that you are in samsara, the ocean of birth and death, and that you are not at a place where you can enjoy. It may sound a little bit harsh, especially early in the morning on Sunday mornings, to hear this, but if you think you are here to enjoy life, you have made a great mistake. You are in illusion. Sorry to have to say it. But in this material world, you have three intense sufferings all with you. It's the suffering due to the body. Wait until you turn over 40, then it becomes extremely obvious to you. Suffering due to the body. Suffering due to the mind. Sometimes in our temples, devotees have so many different views and then they fight with each other and quarrel. This happens sometimes even in temples. Sufferings due to the mind. Sufferings due to other living entities. I will soon go to the dentist and then my suffering due to the dentist is actually due to my own body. Certain poor dentist is not the cause of the suffering. Suffering due to other living entities, and then suffering due to supernatural influences which are beyond your control. Then we are hungry, we are thirsty, we are mental, and we are there are six waves, and then ultimately the greatest suffering for a materially attached person at least is the death. Now Maya, I could now talk the whole morning, by the way, about all the different forms of sufferings which are mentioned. Maya, this is her activity, codes this suffering. It makes the material existence attractive to us. I always smile because around this time the spring will cover nature which now doesn't look so super attractive, as you must admit, looks a little dead, will soon start to look green, full of flowers and so on. I remember this, your flower tree before Bhagavad-Dham and Gaurangi, you have a beautiful flower tree just before the entrance. I think you also must know it, Gaura Bhavani. It's a beautiful flower tree. It starts to flower now. It starts to look attractive now because of the flowers, isn't it? And then people, in springtime, the sex impulse is more direct, more intense, and people look into each faces, and between all the wrinkles and between all the Urschmals and slime and between all the bad Mundgeruch, you know, they begin to understand, it's so attractive, the opposite sex, wow! You know, they become highly interested in the sex industry, you know, what is on the market new, and so on and so forth, and become totally involved in this. It's called the covering of Maya, the take over Maya, which will work. You can see it, study it this spring. Sit, take a chair if you have some free time. Sit on the Bismarck place and just study it. You know, have your Bhagavatam there, you know, the relevant chapters, and then just study it, you know, and make a Feldforschung, field research. And you will see there's a covering influence of Maya working quite heavily. Yes. This is the reason why a devotee, when a devotee now gets covered, it may not be the same forms, but when a devotee gets covered by Maya, he or she also forgets that this world is not a place meant for enjoyment. The word prison is used. In a prison, there is no place for enjoyment. There's only the illusion of enjoyment. A little while ago, I told the devotees a story which I have just read. It was about one poor prisoner who got a really dungy prison cell. Also ein richtig his Loch, Gefängnisloch. And a prisoner of the A class, he was a major, also ein Bürgermeister, major, is it? Mayor. And he got a prison cell which TV and with nice foods, good entertainment. He got a prison cell A. Now, the poor prisoner always thought about how to improve his situation. And one day he asked the guard, please bring me 2 bars of soap, 2 Seifenstücke. I'm smelling a little. I have not washed properly for a long time. The guard brought it and then he went and had put some water in it and formed a pistol out of it. Was der Seife eine Pistole geformt. So next time when the guard came, he put the pistol on his head and said, I shoot you if you do not free me. Said the guard, don't shoot me, I have my family and my children. Oh, I forgot he threw that soap pistol in the dirt and turned it around so that it looked like a real pistol. What do you want? Said the guy. I do everything, just don't get nervous and shoot. No, I'm not getting nervous, said the prisoner. I know exactly what I want to do. Let's open now the A-class prison cell. The guard went like, and opened it, and they looked into this beautiful cell, and the prisoner said, of the famous law of the dungeon prison cell to the mayor, get out of this here, get out, I want to go into this. And then he went into the A class cell and the guard, he told the guard to lock it now, and then he stayed in the A class cell. That was his idea of liberation. A devotee is not so foolish to also think he can escape the suffering of material existence by getting a lot of money and, getting into an A-class cell. We are suffering! We are prisoners in the prison of birth and death. Don't be an illusion about it. It's not your place for enjoyment. Even if you have some illusory enjoyment, it just does not work. I hope it was not too heavy for Gaurangi. No, she does the Aussteuerung. So, in the Orthodox spiritual traditions, when you wanted to have initiation from a spiritual master, you needed to show your intense desire. to escape material life, you needed to show that you were prepared to accept austerity. In Sanskrit, the word is tapa. And the way you needed to show it was, for us Westerners, almost very, very shocking. At the time of initiation, your spiritual master, this is Namtiki, don't be shocked, it's a Vaishnava tradition and a Ramanuja tradition, would take an iron thing with a stem. It had a conch and, as far as I know, a disc. And he would put this into the fire and then he would burn it into your shoulder. It would smell like, you know, the way skin smells. Shht! Shht! Man and woman would be stamped like this. It would mean they are now servants of Vishnu. See, the understanding was that this little pain which you would feel here is nothing, absolutely nothing, in comparison to the pain which you experience in the fire of material existence. It's cooling. You understand this logic? Now, if you were afraid to accept this little shh pain, then it meant you were not serious. You were just a flake. Eine wie sagt Flake, in Deutsch sagt man ein Tüdelüdel. You were not really serious. You had not understood the miseries of material existence. If this was too much for you, this little austerity, then you were not worthy of initiation. I think some of you who are having tattoos, hast du tattoos? Gut, erspart kann man sich auch ersparen. They know it's not so painful, but it's, you know. Now, I thought I would revive this tradition. In next initiation, I will do it. No. Shalim say, I joke. I'm joking. Because, and this means the old disciples also would have to come and we would do it nachträglich. No, it is not done in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tradition. it's not done because, I don't know why not, but it's not necessary in Prabhupada, never really. Yeah, he spoke about this tradition, but it's not done in our tradition. But I think the spirit of this ancient custom, diese alte Brauch, der Geist, der diesen alten Brauch durchströmt, is very much present, or has to be very much present in our spiritual life. See, when Sanatana Goswami approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had three questions. Who am I? Why am I suffering? And think how to get out of this situation. This is as far as I remember. But the point is, ama keno jaritapatraya. Why are the threefold miseries of material existence constantly paining me? What should I do to get out of this suffering situation? A person who is not so intelligent will try to make adjustment. Adjustments or arrangements in the suffering to somehow get away with the suffering to you know, but it can't be done in adjustment. We have to suffer in this world. And intelligence means that you realize this and you want to get out of this suffering. If you are not yet spiritually intelligent, you will not really be able to understand the point. You will think, well, not so bad. But if you are spiritually intelligent, you will also notice that the so-called pleasures, the so-called pleasures which you experience are nothing than counteractions of suffering. Also wenn du intelligent bist, kannst du auch sehen, dass die sogenannten Freuden, die du erlebst, nichts anderes sind als Gegenmaßnahmen für Leid. Yesterday I saw this. I was almost crying when I ate my feast. Because before that I was so hungry. I said to my guests, because there was one guest after another coming, I said, if you don't let me eat now, I will start eating right now and I will start with the table. I'm so hungry. And then they saw in serious, okay, we go. And then the devotees brought this nice plate of prasadam in it. But while I was eating, I was noticing all I'm doing is I'm trying to counteract the suffering of my hunger. That's all what I'm doing, really. I'm so much suffering because of the hunger. I thought I can have now 5 hands to eat, you know, so hungry. All I did was really going against it. Or sex life. Let us approach the holy cow of sex life. You know, the reason why you think it's suffering is and enjoying is because you have such an urge. You're getting crazy if you don't satisfy this urge. And therefore, you say, okay, let me somehow satisfy, you know, do something against this fire which is burning in my heart, this fire of lust which is eating me alive. And then you're doing this. An intelligent person really does not think that the so-called pleasures of material life are pleasures. They are just Gegenmaßnahmen to suffering, counteractivities against the miserable existences of material life. But due to Maya, we do not see this. And when someone tells us, we very often don't like it. I remember when the devotees told me, you are suffering. I said, no, you are suffering, not me. Don't tell me I'm suffering. I told them very frankly, I was very angry at them. But what is this? The devotee was new. He couldn't really take the illusion from me. He said, but what is with birth, old age, disease and death? That's natural, I said. How can you say to something which is natural, it is misery, it is suffering, it's nature? Only a psychopathic person will think that's misery. I was totally convinced of material existence when I met the devotees. You won't believe. I was very angry when someone pointed this out to me. Now I can see how much I was an illusion. See this. So now, after we have become initiated, it is we must think very much about being serious. It's not that after initiation we should think mainly of eating and sleeping, but after initiation, the seriousness which brought us to the sacrificial fire must be increased and constantly monitored. Also wir müssen das überprüfen und versorgen, diese Ernsthaftigkeit. And how does this seriousness manifest in the life, the seriousness of in the life of a disciple? How should this manifest? But there are basically two points. One is the sincere inquiries to our spiritual master, and the second point is the desire to do service. We must feel in our heart a commitment to our spiritual master. Commitment heißt eine Art Verpflichtung, die wir fühlen. Why? Our goal in life should be to become a servant of Krishna, to again be united with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the one who teaches us service is a dear servant of Krishna, our spiritual master. Sometimes people who come to Krishna consciousness are a little bit disappointed with the gurus in Krishna consciousness, because they feel it would be much more convincing if that guru could show some magic, something extraordinary. I also became totally convinced of Prabhupada when I was young, when someone told me that Prabhupada, he had seen Prabhupada going up the ray of a sun, you know, climbing up a sun ray. I thought that this is supernatural, this must be a real spiritual person. And I can understand this this feeling. And, you know, if someone would, for instance, ask, I can only, my God brothers are super personalities, but if someone would ask me to climb up a sun rays, I could say, I can climb up a tree, but a sun ray, that is too difficult for me to be mixed. Frank and open, I can't do it. Wouldn't know how. I just wouldn't know, you know, not experienced in this type of yoga. You know, very sorry to disappoint you. Some of our spiritual masters are these super personalities, but some are not. I remember from a lecture of Bhakti Charu Maharaj about one Rasikananda. Rasikananda was sitting early in the morning and brushing his teeth when there was a person coming, and he said, did you know a yogi has come into our village? He came riding on a tiger. Oh, is it? Said Rasikananda. I want to see him. So Rasikananda, he just remained brushing his teeth. He was sitting at that time at a broken piece of a wall. Ein zusammengebrochene Mauer, so ein Stück. And he used this broken piece of the wall as his vehicle. It started to go up like an UFO. And then it carried him to where the yogi and his tiger was. Tiger was just sleeping, you know, and Rasikananda came sailing through the sky, brushing his teeth. You know, the yogi said, Hare Krishna, Sisi Gauri Dai Ki. Should sit properly. Oh. And the yogi became, obviously, became obviously very fascinated. Wonderful. So we do have some supermen, if you want, some super gurus in our sampradaya. But is this what we should look for? What should we look for in our spiritual master? What should we learn from him? There is one thing which you must really look for. I will tell you the point. See, the path which brings you to freedom the path which brings you out of the prison of material existence, or the path which frees you from your miseries, is the path of Sharanagati, the path of surrender. When you look for your spiritual master, look for someone who is surrendered to Krishna and to Krishna's plan. If you have this vision, if you look for this, this is what is important in spiritual life. If this is there, you can be, you can be sure of his guidance, and you can be sure that you will learn this important thing. But if it is not there, you may have even mystical potencies and may learn this, but this will not bring you back home, back to Godhead, necessarily. If you are a fully surrendered soul and you also have mystic potencies, it's fine. but Krishna really looks for this point, this surrendered attitude of a disciple. Then, when this attitude is there, it is very, very good. The life in which we are at present is a big examination hall. And the final examination which will come is the point of death. At the point of death, our final examination will be there. And then, when this examination is there, we will be tested how surrendered we are, how much we can have learned to think of Krishna, how much we have dedicated our lives to Krishna. And the spiritual master, he will teach us. You know, there is a shloka, tat vigyayatum swagarum eva vigachet savitpani shrotriyam brahmanishtam. It means we should take a spiritual master and inquire from him what is the purpose of our life, and then we should help him in sacrifice. It is in the shloka it is said the disciple should bring wood so that the sacrifice of the spiritual master can be conducted. In ancient times, the saintly persons would have a fire burning and would always be engaged in sacrifice to the Lord. Sacrifice is meant to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the disciple should help by bringing firewood, because that's what you need for a fire yagya. How is this in our modern times? We have seen Srila Prabhupada conducting fire sacrifices, but only at the initiation, and not constantly. There are some spiritual traditions in India where the gurus have constant fires burning. Some of them, Abhiram told me, he once made a pilgrimage and he had a guru who, even while driving on the, by going with a boat on the Ganga, this guru had a fire and he was constantly feeding the fire. This fire was given to him by his own spiritual master and it had never been extinguished since that time. Imagine, it was burning for a few years. In the Radharaman temple, you will be happy to hear, they have in the kitchen a fire. This is not for sacrifice. Well, you could say also for sake for pleasing Radha Ramaji, which is 500 years old. Did you know this? It comes from the time of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Hare Krishna. So, our Gaudiyas, or we as, don't, our main process of worshipping Krishna is not through a yagya, a fire yagya, but through chanting the holy names. But the same principle which is addressed in this shloka holds true. We should also come as disciples to help our guru in his sacrifice. He's conducing a sacrifice, something which will please Krishna. And that's the Sankirtan mission. Sankirtan Prajaya. Like, for instance, our devotees here in this Heidelberg temple. I must praise them. It is not so easy to keep this temple, to manage this temple. It never was, by the way, because this temple is situated in a location which is surrounded by passion. It is so. We are coming from Goloka Dham. This is very unusual to hear this noise constantly, and it's difficult for devotees to stay for a long time in the Heidelberg temple. One becomes quite exhausted to stay in the middle of town. It's not easy. I think all of us who were in the Heidelberg temple know it's very, very difficult. I know for you, Gurangi, you sacrificed yourself for I don't know how many years, and you became very sick even, because it's so heavy, this pressure. Heidelberg temple means pressure. This is what it means. But it is a sacrifice. It's a great sacrifice to spread Krishna consciousness. And I think yesterday we have seen this again. How many nice people were attracted? It was a dream of a preacher come true to conduct this Sunday festival. Honestly. So, I hope we find a few more devotees who can help making the Sankirtan Yagya, the Sankirtan sacrifice here, going strong and stronger and strongest. It's a service, it's a sacrifice. This is what a disciple is meant to do, to help his spiritual master in the Sankirtan sacrifice. Now, obviously I don't want to say that everywhere these sacrificial fires are going on. And it's not the only sacrifice to help maintain a temple. There are other things, like our each ashram devotees are conducting their own sacrifices. I don't want to say that this is the only way, but I want to give an example which I think everyone of us can understand and feel also and realize. That real disciple should come with firewood and help his spiritual master conduct the yagya. That is what is expressed in this verse. Tasmat gurum prapadyeta yigyasu shriyam uta. This is this verse. You see in my... I meant another verse. Tad vikyayatum sagurum evavigachet. First thing, ask your spiritual master how to get to the goal of life, and then samit pani shrutriyam ramanishtam. Bring firewood. That is your readiness to participate in the sacrifice to please Krishna. This is disciplehood. Hare Krishna. I personally find these subject matters so fascinating and so encouraging, because it really brings us very clearly the understanding of real spiritual life. That is, we want to learn this path of surrender to Krishna. For this we go to our spiritual master who teaches us. If you have spiritual life but you are not surrendered to the will of the Lord, you need still to improve your spiritual life. If it's in the temple, if it's outside the temple, in any spiritual tradition, this is really the main point, to do the will of the Lord, to be an instrument in Him, in His hands. That's real spiritual life. The Asuric Bhava is, let my will happen. And the Asuric Bhava, the Surabha Bhava is, let the will of the Lord happen. It's a difference. Ganz einfach gesagt. mein Wille geschehe und dein Wille geschehe. Das ist ein Riesenunterschied. This is a simple formula, so to say. So, that we can learn to surrender, we need the example and the encouragement and teachings of a surrendered soul. Therefore, spiritual master is necessary. Hare Krishna, I hope this was relevant to all of you. This book. Very nice point. This book, it says, Property of Sri Shivani Thai. Have to be used. Natural, unfortunately. Bhakti Alicia asks how to stop the river of material desires which are constantly flowing in our hearts, which are not conducive to Krishna consciousness, I will add. To tell you very... the moment you... understand that material life is suffering and that you really want to be in Krishna consciousness, you also let go of material desires. It is described when a person is experiencing another person's death, he becomes totally upset. I think yesterday we saw in the pantomime of Damodar. You know, there was this man who was combing his hair and, you know, making himself as beautiful as possible. And then he saw there was no sounds from the room of his old father, and he entered the room and he saw that his old father had just left his body, and he became totally sober. At first he became hysteric, actually, but he didn't continue combing his hair because this was no longer important for him. Goethe, the famous poet and writer of ancient Germany, he said that when death comes into the awareness of a person, he becomes totally sober and just becomes ernüchtert, totally sober is a word, neutral to material enjoyments, you could say. So when you think about your life deeply as a conditioned soul in this material world, then this will help you to lose material attractions. Have you ever been in this situation where you really saw material life is not really what I sometimes thought when I was an illusion? At that time it just becomes no longer so fascinating. Maya's veil is gone, and you can see what material life means. Now, this is coming from one side. The other side is, which is more recommended in Krishna consciousness, it's a positive side of attraction to Krishna. When you are in good Krishna consciousness, then material joys become not attractive. Imagine yourself when you dance in a kirtan, which you like very much. At that time, you don't think of a new Zahari, or, I mean, this is harmless to have a, everyone wants that you have 10,000 new Zaharis. This is not the, the problem. I mean, not, maybe not 10,000, but you know, this is not the problem. As something, some material desire, we don't need to give an example. You feel just so happy. It doesn't even appear in you. This is when we did Harinam. I was noticing it was raining. It was raining at some time. But I just felt so happy. I didn't. At one minute I thought, or I had said to Gaveshi, I will not come with the rains because my health is not so good, and I want to preach during the Gopurim Fest. But I was so much. I immediately forgot this when I was dancing and chanting, and no reason to go into this. So try to make your life a constant kirtan, but sometimes it helps to think what material life really is, so that you don't become illusioned and sloppy and lame. Rupa Gupta.
In the beginning of the lecture, you gave this example of the Russian pilgrim, which was looking for how to be constantly worshipping or thinking of the Lord. So now, I, for myself, I'm brought up, like you read, like years before that, it was like living in the temple, this is now the only way to meditate and worship the Lord, and living outside is like black and white. So now the question always comes up, it's so difficult to overcome this ingrown mentality that the things you do outside, they are Maya, they are tinged with Maya. Mm-hmm. So this only you are full-time, so to say, devoted. This is real spiritual life.
It's real spiritual life, yes.
So that means how to cope with that, that you have daily affairs, like you study, you make a lot of our householders do regular jobs.
Which are an austerity for them also, yeah. You are right, Upa Gupta. I think you study sociology also.
I didn't do that. I had to choose between sociology and philosophy. I had a choice.
Yeah.
So
in sociology, we hear that any new group in the beginning does this, that it says only within the group. And it... die setzt sich dann auch ab, also von has a strong demarcation line between the inside and the outside. It's almost like a huge wall. Religious communities tend to do this very, very strong. This is the research work in sociology. Now, if a religious group should survive at one time, it will... It has to broaden up, otherwise it really becomes a sect and it cannot survive. Sects don't survive very long historically. Even the Benedictine monks, if you study their community, they are very much only in the cloister, but they also had to broaden up and accept the laymanship, die Laien. Da gibt's auch Laien. And the way they interact with these Laien describes their success as something which can survive, in history. So our Hare Krishna movement in the beginning was, like you said, it is natural, it is something new, and we are also human beings. It's interesting now where we are older, we see so many statements of Prabhupada who speak about practicing Krishna consciousness outside of the temple. It's full. We didn't see these statements. It's as if we had a scheuklappen before our eyes. We didn't see them. See, Prabhupada left us with knowledge. It was always the same. He didn't write these in the later stage of the Hare Krishna movement. He wrote it from the beginning. A temple is not a place where there are bricks, which we call the temple. It's where Krishna is worshipped. Gurhastha life. But I can understand that it's sometimes difficult to perform one's duties in the world. I mean, as a preacher, many, many times our devotees who live outside come to me and say, I have keine Lust mehr, you know, I don't want to do this any longer, to stay. I want to move in the temple. No, they may not say this, but at least they express their difficulties to continue with the material world. And I think this is also natural. If you are spiritually advanced, you do not like these materialists and these materialistic dealings. You don't like when the telephone goes ring, 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 you know, and then some information about money, about the dollar which rises or sinks, you know, and you have just said, Jai Om, Jai Gaura Chandra. It's difficult. Or you have just done your morning program and then you go into the U-Bahn and everyone is frustrated because they have to go to their jobs. It's difficult to be in their association. What I would think is that those who live outside, in order to be strong and cope with these difficulties, they need a strong morning program. They need to really make a good spiritual experience in their morning programs. And then it's possible for them to do this. And then when they go through their days in a strong way, in a happy way, then it doesn't arise in their mind that they should maybe drop what they do and go into the temple. Because those who live in the temple can tell you it's not easy in the temple either. Isn't it? It's not every day very easy in the temple. Or in Sankirtan, Kaivavasini is here, our young lioness of Sankirtan. You know, it's not easy to go every day and see these people who have just broken in the last night all the four regulative principles and who are now not in good consciousness. You know, it's not always very easy. So I think the only the difficulties which you express to cope with the day outside is also very often the difficulty of a devotee, and the answer in the temple, and the answer is the same. You can only cope with it if you have a strong, satisfying morning program. I think we all know this. If this morning program is not there, even a day in the temple can become difficult. If it's not as strong, or if we are totally tired, like me and Tirthanga, we are the tired team today. You know, it's very difficult to, you know, we have to now see what to do with our tiredness and then get into some satisfying spiritual practice so that we can survive the day. You know, my door will soon be open and everyone will tell me their problems, and if I have not chanted, then I will also think problem after a whole problem session. Yeah, it's a double. Wie ist dein Name? Sorry, I saw this. Mataji was early. Was ist dein Name nochmal? Oh, Govinda Dasi. Super. Ja?
I want to ask you, if you see that suddenly you're suffering some curious things, how to avoid that you come into aversion, you just hate that it's also not so spiritual.
Ja. Govinda Dasi talks about a trick of Maya, that when you see something is suffering, there is a tendency to develop such a strong aversion, and so starke Abneigung, that same thing is always in your mind. And you are connected with suffering in a negative way, but you are connected. This is a subject matter which the four Kumaras discuss with Vihamsa avatar, and Vihamsa avatar answers, the only way is you must learn to think of Krishna. That's really the only, that's the third alternative. When you go through this world, for instance, it's a very important point. Sometimes devotees get also fear from death. If you don't, then come to my Sterbe seminar. You know, in the first session, I have three parts in this Sterbe seminar. And after the first part, everyone is really shocked. Because we deal with the death, how it appears in the Western society, how people cope with it, what they understand, and then then comes the light scenes, you know, in the Vedas. And the point of the Sterbe seminar is that we should learn two things. We should learn detachment, and we must learn to have Krishna in our mind. And then we lose all fear also of death. So,
what to do when it seems that we have good outside, if we have suffering, and if you can suffer, you will suffer, but still we don't have the taste.
We know that we are suffering, but we have no taste for spiritual life. A taste for spiritual life appears when we have good association with devotees, and when we start hearing a lot of Krishna. In the old times, we even did this as a recipe. When a devotee did not have enough taste, he would go to his authorities and say, "Can you please find someone who does my service? I feel not so much taste in my spiritual life." And then we found a place, a replacement, if it was possible, and then we gave the devotee a room in, I remember the Schloss Rettershof time, we had many rooms, and the devotee then spent a day just reading and chanting. We had one case where the devotees felt so miserable somehow or other that he needed a whole week, and then that was all right, and he somehow revived his taste. This is what our scriptures say. This is our method. Bhakti Devi. It's a little complicated for those who have not listened to my last lecture, but I made in it the point that the first place of our attention should be Krishna. Now, we have done this in our society for Krishna consciousness for a long time, but we have forgotten totally the devotees, that this has happened. So that devotees feel now an increased necessity to speak about social issues and how to solve them. And Bhakti Devi wants to know now how to do this in the right balance. Krishna on the first place. Because sometimes if you divorce the two from each other, that is taking care of Krishna and taking care of man, if you divorce it, when it is shyest, then problem starts. See, we hear, you can't worship Krishna if you make offenses against devotees. But if you just take care of making a social acceptable society and you forget Krishna, that is also not good. Then you lose the whole point. So how to balance this? I think, how to balance this? This is a good question. I only know the answer, balance it. How to do this? It's also an individual question. There, for instance, sannyasis who are more into only Krishna, 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 Krishna. Then there are grihasthas who are more into community life. They have children or no children, but they are living together and they know a lot about the interpersonal psychologies. You know, they have to live with it. How to deal with your husband when he is very much in the Ishvara Bhav, or how to deal with your wife when she is very much in the Ishvara Rebhav, this is a question which is important in Grihastha Ashram. It may not be so relevant for the sannyasis. Well, the sannyasis have to think about pride and so on. How to balance it? This is a very difficult question. I think we must know the relative place of everything, where everything belongs. This is how this should be, and this is how this area should be. And then we can balance it. But if we do not know and we speculate, we might make mistakes and not balance it properly. Dobro. This will be the last question of Upagupta.
Isn't there something wrong when we worship Krishna and are not able to socialize? Isn't it that if you worship Krishna, we should also be able to socialize if you do it seriously?
Yes. Is there not something wrong as Upagupta? We worship Krishna, but we are not able to have the balance, the other platform intact. Yes, I think absolutely. Because a Krishna conscious devotee will see that the living entities are part and parcels of Krishna. They are to be respected as such. I was totally amazed when I heard from one devotee how Prabhupada went through Hamburg. Hamburg is a town where I lived for a long, long time. And it was Shivananda, Shivananda Prabhu, who accompanied Srila Prabhupada on his morning walks. And Prabhupada would always greet people. One time Prabhupada went to the bank, and he had to, a little money, 50 marks or so, he put it on his, it was a donation for him. And he went to his bank and put it on his international account. I am not a bank man, but he had to go to bank, maybe just to change the money, I don't know. I don't know what Prabhupada did in a Hamburg bank, but he went to that bank. So there was a lady who took care of the business, bank business. And then later, I think 3 days later, Prabhupada was on a walk and he met that bank lady, also eine Bankangestellte, so eine ganz normale Bankangestellte. And Prabhupada was very happy to see her. He recognized her and he immediately greeted her, good morning, how are you, how is the bank going? he conversed, he talked with her. He knew that bank lady from just a small thing, and the bank lady must have been totally shocked how personal he is. Normally the customer in the bank, that is the only relationship which is in the bank. But Prabhupada was not like this. When Prabhupada had any relationship or contact with anyone, he took personal interest. What a person. And when he met the bank lady, and he was interested to continue his relationship with the bank lady. So, This was Prabhupada. When his servants, Shruti Kirti said, when his servants got a child, a boy, Prabhupada was extremely interested. And he gave Shruti Kirti a donation of, I believe, $60 or $70, 71. And he should put this money in the bank for this boy. And when the boy would be grown up, he could take this money and buy something. But he said to Shruti Kirti, this money should not be used for the deities or for any. It's for this young boy. A very specific instruction. And Shruti Kirti didn't want to take, I don't want your money, Prabhupada. No, take it. It's for your boy, it's not for you. Then there was another grihastha, they had a little girl baby. And then Prabhupada, he bought silver bells, you know, to put around the feet of the little girl, in the kleine Fußglöckchen, you know. Because little babies like it when it makes sound, you know, they are highly interested. So Prabhupada knew that. He bought silver. Very personal. There is a verse which says we can't worship the Lord in a better way than verehren, worship the living entities, because they are part of the Lord. You are right, if someone is totally unsozial and cannot associate, and it means he is a komischer Kauz, most properly. komischer Kauz, something is disturbed in him. We have a few komische Käuze. Let us not be too strong with our komische Käuze, because they surrender, they try their best, but they are little komische Käuze. You know. You meet this in spiritual religious organizations. We are not the only ones. Hopefully I didn't do any offense. I don't know of any komische Käuze at the moment, at least to save my neck. There, everyone surrenders to Krishna. Let us not be too critical. Some of us are from backgrounds where we have experienced so much suffering that we need some time to become, you know, let us give everyone the time he needs or she needs. But in general, we should be good. All right. So I'm thanking you very much. I do hope that I said something relevant. Please think about your own discipleship. This was the point of our lecture. And please, it helps sometimes to know what material life is, so that you know I don't want to have any illusions about material life. I want to go back to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Goni Tai ki jai, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.